prepares the way.
In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire."
About a year ago, there was a WhatsApp video message was spreading around like a viral one. It was about the trumpet blowing. I'm not sure whether you have received one. It was a trumpet blowing sound as if it comes from the sky. People responded in different ways. The religious sect thought that it was a sign or a message from God. And non-religious people, they had fun listening to that sound. Few Christians, they thought that it must be the sign of the last days. Those who were following those messages, they started expecting some hail and fire from heaven after those days. These sort of messages confuse and disturb people, even among Christendom, making people to look for signs and to think about or randomly selecting verses to form a linkage between those two. This would have been a similar chaotic or a confusion among the Judeans when they were hearing suddenly a voice coming from the wilderness saying that, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." In the Old Testament, people were hearing such messages from the kings and the prophets about sin and how to turn away from sin. Ezekiel, he brought a message from God. If a wicked person turns away from all the sins they have committed and keeps all my decrees and does what is just and right, that person will surely live. They will not die. Turning away, something similar to repentance. And it is about leaving the bad thing and start doing the good thing. If you read this verse and similar such verses carefully, you can observe that it is like an external act, an outward action based on that, leaving something bad and doing something good. For example, if someone is oppressing the people, leaving those kind of habits and start showing kindness to them. John the Baptist, he gave similar examples. When the crowd approached John and asked them, "What should we do now?" After hearing, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven has come near," people were asking, "What should we do now? We are confused." And he said, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." The tax collectors were coming to him for the baptism, and they asked, "What should we do?" He replied, "Don't collect any more than you are required to." Then some soldiers came and asked him, "What should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." So John was giving similar such examples, which was a continuation of the Old Testament teaching. Now we might think, so is that what John was also preaching about? Is not he bringing anything new to the new covenant people? God used few techniques, and God introduced John into this world for two main important reasons. One is to break the silence and give a wake-up call. Repentance, confession of sins, forgiveness have all been taught, and they were all in practice already. If you read Leviticus, one of the early books in the Old Testament, when anyone becomes aware that they are guilty in any of these matters, they must confess in what way they have sinned. And then Psalmist, he recorded about the confession of sins and forgiveness. "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." After those Old Testament period, there was a long silence, about 400 years between the Old Testament and New Testament period. People were not hearing any further messages after that. And God sent a messenger. He was John. He was breaking the silence. He was giving a wake-up call. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. It has come near. There is no more time to relax and wait. Get ready. It is a wake-up call." John was not giving anything like a shocking message to those people. But if you carefully read through this chapter, you can see that he was introducing a small change in his preaching. We saw that Old Testament were also following sin should be abandoned and sin should be confessed and should be repentant, and the forgiveness is there. Everything is there. But John the Baptist, he introduced a little change. He doesn't want to shock the people. He brought the baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. This might be new to those people living in that generation. The act of baptism was not in practice until then. They might have wondered, what is this about baptism? What is this word baptism called? Because it was not mentioned as a word in the Old Testament until then. Can anyone take baptism? Are we allowed to take baptism? How is it going to happen? And all those confusions and kind of disturbance might have been among the people there. We all know baptism is an outward proclamation of an inward conversion. In other words, it is a ceremonial act after the person has committed himself and declaring that Jesus is his or her own personal savior. Usually this happens in the public, before the presence of the church body, as a public proclamation of faith. Concerning the origin of baptism, Christian theologians suggest, although Christian baptism may have been widely used by John the Baptist, but the baptism itself did not origin with the Christians, or for that matter, with John. Jewish people, they were practicing baptism through their traditional act of purification. The origin of baptism, it has been claimed that during in the Leviticus itself, when the Levites, they were all called, when they were entering into the most holy place, they need to observe certain kind of symbolic cleansing. A priest who is entering into the most holy place, he is to put on the sacred linen tunic with the linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on the linen turban. These are sacred garments. So he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. And if you read the same chapter at the end, we can find that Aaron, the high priest, when he was coming out of the most holy place, after he has finished his service in the sacred place, before he removes all these linen clothings, he had to take bathing himself and come out. Although this act of cleansing in the Old Testament, which describe, does not call this specifically as a baptism, but it itself highlights the importance and the holiness of the Levites before they get into the most sacred place. Mostly the priest and the high priest were asked to do this kind of holy cleansing before they entered into the most holy place. John's baptism, the baptism of repentance, was following this paradigm of cleansing. But eventually, the final cleansing can be happened only through Jesus. But John's baptism was the foreshadowing of that. It is a wake-up call. God sends wake-up call to people, and we need to hear those wake-up call frequently. Otherwise, we would have slept in the world's craziness. And the significance of the New Testament baptism is to claim that as a believers in Jesus Christ, we are baptized into his death and then raised to walk in the newness of life. The Lord himself has taught us about the importance of taking the believer's baptism. Baptism, going through water and raising up with the newness in life. It is to an extent that he himself has taken the baptism by John the Baptist. And the second important thing for introducing John into this world is to prepare the way for the Lord. John, he was preparing the people's heart. Before people were about to see the Messiah, he knows that he is a forerunner. He knows that the Messiah is going to come. And he was preparing the people's heart, teaching about the baptism by water. And then he was mentioning, the one who is going to come is going to prepare you for the baptism of the Spirit and fire. He was educating them. He was telling them, don't get scared or don't get worried or confused. I am giving a little portion. The one who is going to come will explain, will be the explanation for everything. He was the forerunner. He was doing everything, preparing the way for the Lord. And if you see the priesthood cleansing, which we saw in the Leviticus, and then comparing our baptism of faith, we can see that we should be enlightened or we should be excited about our way of doing baptism, taking baptism. Because the Levites, the priests and the high priests, they need to take that bathing before every time they enter into the most holy place and every time when they were coming out. But for us, we don't need to do every time. We don't need to do every time after we found that sin is in us, we are confessing and go and take baptism. It is not like that. There is one baptism, one faith, one God. So that was a big change. And another important thing, the priest and high priest, they were also offering the sacrifices, like animals, every time they were doing it. But we know that there was one sacrifice, and Jesus himself is a sacrifice, and no one can match with that. So it is done already. There is a change. That is a significant change when we compare with the old covenant people and us being a new covenant one. John was preparing the way, and we know that he was not a people-pleasing preacher. In fact, he was called like a fire and brimstone preacher. Whatever God has asked him to say, he was telling them without any hesitancy. He was not trying to please people. He was not thinking what people would think about me if I say something like very strong and hard messages. He was not having time to think about it. He received from the Lord. He was already filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth, and he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, and he was commanded to do that, and he was simply, sincerely, obediently, he was doing that. We can see that he was neither a good appearance in outward looking, nor he was a popular preacher these days using their own jet planes. He was roaming around in the wilderness. He was just wearing whatever he got as a camel's hair. And he ate whatever it was available around them, locusts and honey. He had no time. He was not giving any preference other than that, telling the message to the people. He was giving the primest importance to say God's word to the people. And two things we can see in John the Baptist's life. He was called by God. He was guided by the Holy Spirit. So we can see the work of the Holy Spirit. He was someone shouting in the wilderness, repent, 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 for the kingdom has come near. But if you read that passage carefully, you can see that people all around the place, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and all over the region of Jordan, they were all attracted to his message. They were coming and listening. What is this new message about? Why he is like that? He was not simply caring about himself. He was saying something new. They listened to him. And many were baptized. It was new to them, but they could receive it. God was working on both the ends, in sending John the Baptist, in preparing the people's heart. The same message, what God has given to John the Baptist, was given to us as well. It is in Matthew 28:19, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. John must have heard the same message from God. He was sincerely applying that in his life. How about us? We have received, we have given the message, we need to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Are we worried about the people? Are we trying to please people in telling the good news? Is there any restrictions, like whether I will lose these people? Or are we giving importance that God has asked me to save this soul? Let me go and tell in a gentle way. Are we using the opportunities that are around us to be his faithful servant? How about us? We are no way much different from John the Baptist. Are we giving importance to our, we need to give importance to our clothing. We cannot go around with the camel's hair. But how much importance we are giving to those? John the Baptist, when he was asked, after seeing all those fiery preaching, people were asking, are you the Messiah? There was a confusion. He explained, no, not at all. He was not taking any glory of God, because all glory and honor belongs to him. He was submissive at the same time. And he said, I'm not worthy even to untie his sandals. I am baptizing you with water, but the one who is going to come will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And he said, his winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into this barn. But he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. Both saving and judgment is in the hands of the Lord. He saves us when we repent for our sins, when we confess for our sins, when we admit that I am the sinner, and then he is there to forgive us, he is there to redeem us, and that redemption is shown through an act of baptism. And he is the judge as well. He is the only judge. We have no authority to claim for that. He can alone separate the good and bad, and it is in his hands. So John was taking that humble position. What is my role in God's big kingdom? I am just a forerunner. Confessing sins. How do we need to confess? Yes, we admit, I am a sinner. I have done the mistake. I have done this terrible mistake. I need to do. I admit. But after admission, we need to go for a confession stage. We need to go and tell the Lord, Lord, I am a sinner. Then he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and purify us from all our unrighteousness. Sometimes we may hurt people around. As a children of God, we need to maintain the harmony among the people. And we should not be ashamed of saying sorry to them if we have done any mistakes. James 5, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. He has asked us to go and confess to the sins if deliberately we have done a mistake to others, if we have hurted other people. It is good to go and say sorry to them. Before we finish, these are few points. Whenever we hear this John the Baptist preparing the way for the Lord and all those things quite often, frequently. Why this wake-up call for us now, for me now, for the church now? Is it preparing me for any future coming? We are in the waiting period. It is a Advent period, we are here waiting for the Lord's second coming. During this time, how I have prepared myself inwardly, confessing sins, remorsing for my sins, and then going and committing and asking God's forgiveness. Sometimes we need to ask every day. Outwardly, am I bearing fruit in repentance? And when the Pharisees and Sadducees, you can see that sometimes they are very good. They must be very good in ritual and religious practices of meeting God personally every time and every places. But there was something lagging. That's why John was asking, "You brood of vipers, who has asked you to come and take the baptism now?" Be repentance, bearing the fruit in repentance. You are good in repenting, but bear the fruit. Let us think about these points. Why this wake-up call now? What should I do now? How should I be prepared for the rest of this whole year? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord.